with the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
Hi, welcome to the Leisure Man Podcast. I'm Andrew Perloff. He's Paul Papps. You know, we have a lot going on. It's a July NBA free agency.
This MLB. This is the podcast that when you're on a road trip, 4th of July with the family, it's family friendly. We're the Leisure Man. We're not going to offend. We're positive. We're fun. We're leisure positive people.
I'm going to jump right in. I was going to save it to the end, but I have to say it right now.
You're upset about something. I could tell.
Yeah. Like, okay, for 3 years, you've been saying Brandon Graham, well, I don't even think it was 3 years ago, single-handedly won the Eagles Super Bowl for them or the Patriots. There was 2:16 left. The Patriots were about the 35-yard line. Brady drops back. Brandon Graham strip sacks him. Now, the Patriots were down by five. Mm-hmm. The Eagles had timeouts. They were able to get the ball back. What makes you think that they weren't going to score again?
Well,
so it wasn't just that. It wasn't like that or nothing.
No, but it was gigantic because the tide had turned. The Eagles were winning. They were winning that game. Nick Foles is playing great. The Eagles are up 5 points with 2:16 left, but Tom Brady's got the ball. A touchdown is almost assumed.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah, a touchdown's assumed.
The way the Patriots are playing, I would have bet just about everything I had that the Patriots won that game, and they're down five with 2 minutes left.
Well, okay, if they scored a touchdown, there's no way they were going to stop the Eagles.
Right. No,
I mean, there's like they hadn't stopped them all game, so the Eagles were going to get the last ball, just like last year's playoffs. Remember when the Chiefs and the Patriots, it was like whoever gets it last wins in those kind of games.
You're probably right, but the Eagles only had one timeout left, and if Brady can control the clock and run it a little bit down in there at the end, he could have put the Eagles in position where, even though Nick Foles was carving up the Patriots, especially their defensive backs stunk that day, he could have had the ball with like 40 seconds, no timeouts at his own 25. That's tough odds-wise.
Well, I feel like in the NFL today, they score so fast. Like, it was 2:16 left. I don't even know if they get the two-minute mark without scoring. They score so fast in
I know
those
what
games.
You're saying. I just find it to be, in a game where nobody touched Tom Brady the entire day, Brandon Graham, not even close to the most famous player on the team, just does a little bit of a shove-off move on Shaq Mason, the right guard, and just got his arm in there in time to dislodge it from Brady and get the ball back. And that, it like stopped the bleeding for a second of Tom Brady going down the field.
So you don't think Philly is the signature play when Nick Foles asked Doug Peterson to run that special quarterback option on fourth and
whatever? It is the signature play, but the play that won them a game as much as anything, more than anything, was the Brandon Graham strip sack. To take the ball out of Tom Brady's hands with 2 minutes on the clock is gigantic, and I think it's underplayed. Mostly defensive plays don't get the publicity, except for
Malcolm Butler.
And you know, I still think that Mike Jones, his tackle for the Titans Rams,
Kevin
Dyson. Oh my God, he muscled the guy from going over the end zone by about 12 inches.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know my take on that Eagles game. The second we were sitting,
Are you okay? You're sitting very funny in that chair.
Eight rows away. Yeah, no, the chair's not comfortable. We're 8 rows away. The first play, the Eagles get the ball. Alshon Jeffery's like 6'4", 6'5", and he's got a 5'6" guy in single coverage. I'm like, man, the Patriots are not going to play any defense. Turns out, by the way, which would you prefer? The offensive-heavy Patriots-Eagles or last year's Patriots-Rams?
Oh, the offensive-heavy. That we got to be in the building for the Super Bowl, Eagles versus Patriots. And it felt like you couldn't sit down. You couldn't take a break. We never went to the bathroom except for halftime. And I got that big, huge ice cream sundae at halftime. That was great.
I just made an adjustment, by the way. I'm trying to angle. I noticed you have your mic angled so you can see me. My mic is pointing straight forward. We're in about a three by five room.
So these are real good mics that we have here. If you bring your mic out a little bit and then out towards the room and then twist your shoulders to your left, complete other way that you're going. You're going the wrong way.
Oh, I like this view, actually.
Now, if you did that, the complete opposite of what you're doing and face me.
So I'm actually turning the mic away from the room towards me.
Yeah, there you go. The little, now it's loose.
Yeah. Oh, no. Now the whole thing.
You keep talking.
No. You're not going to be able to. Oh boy, this is a disaster.
Okay.
Oh wait, you just went 360. It's like the Exorcist baby right now.
There you go, fixed.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
I think I kind of fixed it.
That cannot be the proper way to fix it. You looped it up. Well, anyway, nobody cares about
it. It needs to be screwed back on the nozzle. Nobody cares about this. All right, what's the other topic you got today?
Oh, NBA free agency. Okay. Like, where do we stand right now?
Does the league feel like it's in a much more interesting place for the fan base because You got a lot of new storylines and a lot of new players on different teams. It's not the Warriors versus the field as it was as we entered this last season. Don't let the Warriors losing and losing, getting players injured, detract from the fact that everyone called this regular season the NBA a big waste of time.
Yeah, totally. Here's what I think. I think right now, early July, the NBA excitement level is at a 10.
Yeah.
I think the opening day of the season, there'll be Zion Williamson, and the rest of the NBA will be a 2.4. I don't think anyone, it's going to be week 8 of the NBA NFL season. No one's going to care about these games when they actually start, which is fine.
True.
The NBA just waits for the NFL to end, and then they do their All-Star break, and they come back on the scene.
It's not like you're tuning in to the Nets games to watch Kevin Durant watch the Nets play.
Now, you know, the Lakers we might watch, but the Lakers are on the West Coast. We didn't watch, how many LeBron games did we watch? Not many.
Well, it was tough because they were late for West Coast people. But after the first few games when they were all messy, it wasn't that much fun to watch. Watching a team struggle isn't that entertaining. It's fun to talk about. It's not fun to watch.
Right. And also LeBron, Kawhi, Anthony Davis. It's actually, with that big a star, it's not really the sexiest team. I mean, Kawhi is not sexy. It's not sexy, Paul.
It's not sexy at all.
Anthony Davis couldn't be less sexy. And LeBron is sexy, but I don't know, old LeBron?
Yeah. I'm going to watch first night. I say this now. We should check back to this. I think I'm going to put the remote down and watch the entire Pelicans first game.
It's all or nothing. Pelicans. Right. Like, but it's the only player I want to watch.
But when Zion checks out of the game, I'm going to turn on, Food Network.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a Sixers fan, and the Sixers are exciting, but I got to tell you, I'm not. Tobias Harris throwing the ball down low to Al Horford, I can wait till the playoffs for that.
The Sixers got quite less exciting. Now they have Al Horford's non-exciting game added to them. In the playoffs, they've improved themselves.
Yeah, how do they get less excited? Jimmy Butler has zero excitement level. Show a Jimmy Butler highlight. He's a 6'7 guy who hits layups.
Yeah.
There's nothing exciting about him.
Yeah, that's not a fun team.
Well, Ben's fascinating. Ben is fascinating because he never shoots a three-pointer. I think I can hook you with that to see, like, if he's wide open, will he take one next year? Ben Simmons, that is.
You know, I was thinking about this, too. Do you think that, like, if you're 15 years old now, you live in New York City, you lived there a long time, you lived in both Manhattan and Brooklyn. I lived in both Manhattan and Brooklyn 20 years ago.
Right.
When I was, in my prime of my 20s.
Right.
And when I was in my 20s, living in Manhattan was where you wanted to be.
Right.
You moved to Brooklyn when I was in in New York City based off of financial issues.
Right.
Where you couldn't afford a decent apartment. That's why I moved to Brooklyn, so I could afford a place that actually had a living room and a kitchen and a bedroom. And then it started getting really, really cool. Do you think if you're 20 years old now, and you know this, is Manhattan uncool or is it... is that just a perception the outside?
It's funny because you tweeted the other day, you were joking that all the cool kids are moving to Brooklyn.
Which
no,
15
it happened.
Years ago.
Yeah. So I was wondering, Manhattan's definitely uncool. That's not even in the conversation. Is Brooklyn uncool now? That is the new...
Played out.
No, like the cool kids, the artists moved to Queens, Bronx.
Right.
So because Brooklyn got expensive, so now Brooklyn's uncool.
When I was in, we'll do a little real estate here. When in 97, 98, 90-ish... A guy I knew named Rob Mank over at CBS News, he moved in with like...
Love that you include the last
Rob
name.
Mank. Mankster, he moved in with like 7 people in a huge loft with a bunch of little bedrooms in Williamsburg. And he had to explain to me where Williamsburg was. And I was living in Brooklyn at the time. I know where Williamsburg is, but like, I mean, I knew Brooklyn pretty well, but I didn't know Williamsburg. He goes, yeah, you go up a couple stops here. And I remember getting out and it's like all these beat up looking buildings. And it was very munchy, very crusty. And he goes, oh, this is where everyone's moving to. I was like, really? And I remember this is 1998, and I had no idea what was coming.
Yeah. I think Williamsburg peaked in about 2003 because all the rock bands were there.
Right.
Then they moved, and then Bushwick peaked because Girls premiered in like 2010 and made Bushwick hot. Then that became passé. So now there's really nothing left. Then Bed-Stuy, which used to be
tough neighborhood,
like where Riddick Bowe grew up, it was supposed to be the stuff that peaked like 5 years ago. And now it's uncool. Now basically, Bed-Stuy is the new Upper West Side of Brooklyn. It's super lame. So now you're nobody if you don't live in Queens or the Bronx. You have zero cool factor.
All right, that's it. Who's your most famous neighbor that you see
regularly?
Once a year, once or twice, a couple times a year.
Well, apparently, I found out today that Joe Harris is a neighbor.
The guard Nets for the Nets.
Shooting guard, 3-point shooting champion. So J.J. Redick's in our neighborhood. I guess he's going to move. Brandon Marshall, I used to see all the time, the former Broncos
receiver.
Yeah, so Anne Hathaway was a neighbor. Oh, my wife got stuck on an elevator with her once. Super cool. She said, call her Annie. No big deal. Tim Robbins wandering around. There's a lot of actors, actually. I can't remember. Oh, this is totally random. The most random one ever. Remember Saturday Night Live actress Anna Gasteyer?
Sure.
She lives next door to me. See her every day.
There you go.
Do I start up a conversation with her?
What are you going to talk about? Like,
I have no idea.
Sweaty Balls, the bit with Pete Sweaty, remember?
Oh, right. She was great in that. Yeah. You must have some famous neighbors. Do you talk to them? Do you ever see them?
In New York City?
No, in Connecticut. I mean, like, there's a lot of celebs who live in sort of...
No, not where I live, in Connecticut.
Oh, well, like a couple towns down?
When I lived in New York City, Moby lived on our block in Nolita.
Yeah.
I see him a lot, but... It's hard. I wasn't sure it's Moby because every third dude looks like Moby in New York City.
That's a hard one. Yeah. Moby should blend in. And plus, what would you say to Moby? I met Moby.
I never met him.
I met Moby. He hit on my friend's girlfriend.
There you go.
Moby, I don't think Moby's the nicest guy. And I have no problem saying that right now.
You could take him.
Moby's a twerp. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even bother fighting Moby. Remember when his music was like the thing? I mean, we were really dating ourselves. I mean,
Gwen Stefani. All right, next topic. If you were currently a high-end NBA free agent, mm-hmm. where would you go for a multitude of reasons? And what would those reasons be? The state of the NBA as of today. We don't know where Kawhi is, but otherwise we know where everybody else is.
So this is going to sound like a hometown bias, but it's going to be Brooklyn because I'm not going to the Knicks for those same reasons that everyone, all the negatives people talk about the Knicks. Now, L.A., I don't think being a celebrity basketball player in L.A. would be that much fun because there's a million. L.A. doesn't care about that. They do care about it, but it's all actors. It's all spread out. The traffic's really bad.
It does feel like Kevin Durant at 7 feet is going to be able to walk the streets of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And it won't cause that big of a commotion after a little bit.
But he can still do whatever cool he wants. I don't know. What are some other non-LA New York choices? Boston's a nice town.
Well, like Miami Heat.
People love Miami.
A lot of people like Miami.
The humidity plays with my hair. Yeah. Would you do Miami?
No, I'm not a Florida guy.
What are some other prime markets? Chicago's a good one.
Milwaukee? No, they're not cool.
Milwaukee's too small, I would think. I like it, but... Chicago's got to be in the mix.
I'm with you on Brooklyn. I would love to be in an area where I could walk to practice or I could, you know, take an Uber to practice or a town car.
Yeah, you'd be cool. Yeah. The Lakers? No.
You know, the
one... Okay. Let me ask a question. No LA, no New York, no top five markets.
Oh, okay.
No Miami.
Boston's appealing. Pretty hardcore sports town.
Yeah.
They love their Celtics.
A little chilly, but you got your house in Vermont.
Yeah, I like the cold. I hate the hot weather. I'll probably go Boston Celtics.
Dallas, talk to you. We love Mark Cuban.
Yeah,
he's the man.
I like Cuban style a lot as an owner, and the franchise seems well run.
You could win a title in Houston, maybe?
Portland seems like a great place to live.
Oh, and dude, that's where we're going.
They have a hardcore fan base.
Let's team up like Kyrie and Kevin Durant and go to Portland.
I would do that. Here's one thing I don't understand. If the lineup makes the team... Why wouldn't Kyrie and Kevin Durant go to the Knicks? Because they are the lineup. You would say, well, the Knicks still can't win. You're the Knicks. It's not like Jim Dolan's playing.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're stirring the drink.
And the coach is great, too.
If Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving say, we're coming to the Knicks, they control the direction of that roster. They might as well be in meetings and telling the general manager, was it Sean Marks?
Steve Mills. Yeah, Marks is Brooklyn, yeah.
Okay, Steve Mills. Here's what we want if we come here. They're stirring the drink like LeBron does in L.A.
True.
That's why I don't understand. Like,
well, there's a little talent in Brooklyn to work around. You know, you got Jumpin' Joe Harris. You got Caris LeVert. Maybe they say there's enough pieces here. They made the playoffs. I mean, that roster made the playoffs where the Knicks won 17 games. But right. I totally hear you. Like, what's the big deal with New York?
Why couldn't you become the Knicks?
Why? What is wrong with the Knicks? How do we help the Knicks? They came into the studio here at Dan Patrick Show, and they were super nice.
It just could be, yeah. We like their coach, Fizdale. It may be Sean O'Connor on the Dan Patrick side the other day. He goes, if you're under 30 years old, you never thought the Knicks were cool. There was no point in your life you thought the Knicks were cool. That when Patrick Ewing was there, you were like six.
Carmelo?
No. That was not cool.
Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo had like a 6 minute window of being cool. Yeah. Then Amari got hurt.
Microfracture.
Yeah, no, the Knicks is not great. Just one more NBA free agency question. Do you like all this? All this like rumor stuff? All this like the offseason kind of being bigger than the regular season for the NBA?
I'm not able to differentiate it because it's great for my job.
Yeah.
And what's great for my job usually makes me pretty happy. And as a fan, I like players staying. Because I want all teams to stay for a long time.
Right, but your team, the Chicago Bulls, aren't really in the mix right now. They're rebuilding. So as a fan of all these other teams, isn't it more fun to see these guys move around? Don't you want like team guys to switch around, get a new mix in there?
It is interesting when I find it more interesting when teams don't work out that have great players together. Like when you put a team together, remember a bunch of years ago, it was like Karl Malone and Gary Payton went to the Lakers and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And you're like, how can that much talent and experience not kick everybody's ass?
Kobe and Shaq were there. I mean, Karl Malone was at 39, I think, but
still, it was, you're like, okay, these guys can be third and fourth fiddle, but why wouldn't that work out? There was a bunch of years ago, and it was a long time ago, that I think the Atlanta Hawks had like four all-star players on their roster.
Yeah.
But it was like Orlando, like Reggie Theus, and they had Moses Malone, and they added a couple other guys, and then Wilkins, and all these gunners and former gunners, and they stunk.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, right, I totally remember that.
Or I feel like Houston some of the
Rockets with Barkley at the end, with Barkley and Pippen.
And Olajuwon.
They were close, but they didn't stink like that Atlanta team. What if this was the NFL and three of the top five quarterbacks switched teams on a given day? What if Aaron Rodgers signed with the Jets? And what's the equivalent? Who's the Kevin Durant? What if all of a sudden Carson Wentz signed with Kansas City tomorrow?
Yeah, Mahomes and Tom Brady decides I'm going to Tampa and just going to take everything down there.
No sport is like the NBA. Like the NFL has free agency. We talk about it, but this was kind of crazy.
Yeah, NFL quarterbacks don't want to go other places. I think they get really comfortable. I think the lifestyle of the NFL, we've talked about this before, is the town you're in really becomes where your family lives and breathes all year and where you socialize and spend your time, because you go to practice and then you go home. You're there for the entire season. Like, if Kevin Durant didn't like Brooklyn or liked Brooklyn, I'm sure it factors in, but it's not everything.
He could fly out. Yeah.
I mean, Paul George is in Oklahoma City, but he's Oklahoma City for like 24 hours, then he's gone for 2 days.
Then L.A.
Then 48 hours, then gone for 4 days. So we talked about that.
Brady does a little bit of California and Boston. Where's Aaron Rodgers spend his time? Feels like I always see him up in Milwaukee.
I've seen off-season the past few off-seasons in Los Angeles, but that was during the Olivia Munn run.
Oh, yeah. 4th of July, right around the corner. Prepare your vehicle for the 4th of July road trip.
Yeah, buddy. You know, I'm taking double road trips. I got the family truckster going up to Vermont for 4 days. Then I got to roll back down to Rhode Island. So I'm doing a lot of driving.
Now, listen, I know you have a lot of, I'm not going to call them old cars. Yeah. I like vintage.
Well used.
Yeah. So I think that you probably could use a visit to your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. I know you go there often.
Absolutely. I got to get it fresh for the summer.
Yeah. I mean, simple preventative maintenance, like changing your oil and filter, which I do all the time because I drive so many miles, topping off the engine coolant and checking belts and hoses, can avoid costly repairs in the future and keep you driving up the road, Paul, to Vermont, wherever.
You can get gas treatments there. You can get fluid for your wipers, which you got to have before you go on the road. You can even get stuff to clean your car, all the good stuff that they have.
The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts have the parts you need at guaranteed low prices. Get your vehicle ready for the 4th of July travel today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
God bless America.
By the way, NFL quarterbacks, they're so obsessed with golf, though. They'll go wherever the golf is.
Yeah, they love those tournaments. All right, next topic. The LA Times had a story today about a 70-year-old man. He's a physician, and he helped out in the community. He seems like a very successful man. About 10 years ago, he got into running marathons, and now he's the best 70-plus-year-old marathon runner in the world. The past maybe 4 years, he's been up in the top numbers, and the last marathon he ran the LA Marathon, he set the record for 70-plus marathon time. I think he ran it in 2 hours and 53 minutes.
Amazing.
I saw a picture of this guy. He's in unbelievable shape for a 30-year-old, and he's 70.
Right
now, a lot of accusations, more than one race has accused him of cheating.
Yeah,
they say, and they haven't given the specifics ways he's cheated. They said there's just too many red flags, like he's missing on the course and he reappears, and the time, and there's like a website that's analyzing what this guy did. He appears on the course, and that window he was gone, he would have had to run that portion in crazy record time. And he says, I'm going to the bathroom, which is legal. You can leave. I did some research. When you're running a marathon, you can leave the course to go to the bathroom in a proper facility as long as you're kind of in the course boundaries.
Right.
You can't cut the course and cut to another spot, get a ride, get help. And we had an LA Times writer on the Dan Patrick Show, and he thinks this guy is cheating, but the guy denies it. What type of mentality is that? I have my theories. What do you think this guy, if he's cheating, what do you think his mentality is?
I mean, what incentives are there not to cheat? I don't understand. Like, you're saying, like, you wouldn't cheat at this because there's not a financial reward, but you would cheat if there's a lot of money at stake, like PED users?
I don't like cheating in sports at all, because then you're sitting there home alone with a fake title.
But there's so much of it, though. Because it's win at all costs. I know this is ridiculous.
But this is not like taking, I guess they're all types of cheating. But basically, you're in a 26-mile race, and you decide, I'm going to run 14 of those 26 miles, because I know and you're going to get a ride to a different point. When you go home, you didn't win.
So if you ever cheated in school, did it bother you if you got a better grade because of it?
No, because, and this is going to be a justification, I cheated out of lazy desperation. I cheated because up until the point of the test, I didn't do enough to study for that test.
But did it ever cause like moral qualms afterwards?
Yeah, I felt bad doing it. I like how you assume I cheated, by the way. There were times in high school where I just did my best and took the D or an F for a C, where I didn't cheat many times, most of the time.
Yeah, I don't even know. By the way, I actually assumed you cheated. I think you said it on air before. Yeah, that's why. And I don't know if you were doing a bit, but
no. In high school, there was a few times where I went in absolutely clueless and I didn't want to flunk. And that's sad, because I could have just done the bare minimum of studying, and I'm sure I could have gotten a C. But going back to this runner, I really believe that if this gentleman is 70 years old, he had a good life, and it's almost like I've done all these really good things, but I've never gotten my due. I've still done great things in my life, and now I'm going to get my due, and I'm smart. He's not a dumb guy. He's obviously a very successful man. He found a way to cheat without directly getting caught, but he got too good for his own. But if you're going to cheat, you don't want to come in second place in the race. You're going to cheat to come in first.
Right.
I believe that it's like a tick in him that he has to finish his life getting some type of notoriety, and he figured out almost a way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think as DP said, status. Like this is his thing. I'm surprised more people don't cheat. I bet you they do, by the way.
Right.
I mean, well, think about it. We all cheat. We all take shortcuts, and races like, we all...
We
all do.
I look for angles. I look for boundaries.
What if some of them cross the line and are? If it's a gray area where you're not sure?
Oh, then I would not.
About NASCAR. They cheat all the time.
But you see me when we compete in different sporting events here, I'm the worst athlete in the room, and there's no doubt about it. And I try to look at the setup of the athletic event, and is there a loophole that I could use to my advantage? A legal loophole where, like, we did this thing. We were doing tire changing a couple years ago on the Dan Patrick. We had to change tires in this like NASCAR competition, and you're supposed to take the tire off and put it back on. So I took the tire off and I just leaned it back and leaned it right back on, so it would go right back on the pegs. And it wasn't cheating, but I barely took it off. All you other guys went and took it all the way off, and then you had like trouble getting it back on because you were kind of starting from fresh. I found a way to like tilt it back so it was still lined up and tilt it right back. And I remember everyone's like, is that okay? And I'm like, well, tell me right now if it's not.
Well, yeah, see, so that's like, that could be
it's close
perceived as a gray area.
But in my mind, I believed I was finding a loophole in the rules that didn't cover it.
Yeah, maybe this dude convinced himself of the same thing.
You might be right. He may have said, like, you know what, I'm 70. I could take 4 miles
off. It's like those PED guys who I think have convinced themselves they never took PEDs, even though they knew they did.
Or I think the PED guys justify it as, everyone's doing it, and I'm just better hitter than all the other guys who are doing it.
Maybe this guy thinks everyone's cheating at the marathon. How are they running so fast?
Like, look at these other 70-year-olds. They got to be doing something. No one's running 26 miles.
And then it turns out, what did he win his last race by for his age category?
He finished the race, this 70-year-old man, in 2 hours and 53 minutes. The second place in the 70 and over division, 4 hours and 10 minutes.
I know.
I mean, come on.
Come on, dude.
Frank.
Okay, do you have any doubt that he cheated?
I
have no doubt.
I have no doubt.
I'll go 100% he cheated.
Yeah, I believe he cheated, but I would...
You said a line that he was walking along the sidewalk looking for a bathroom. What? he ran a 2:53 marathon? But aren't there some really classic stories? I know you know a lot about marathon
Rosie
history.
Ruiz, Boston Marathon.
How'd she cheat? She took a bus, or what did she do?
I think...
her car?
There was a rumor that her boyfriend gave her a ride in the car. What happened was, and this is, I think it was on ABC, Wide World of Sports... They didn't have cameras everywhere. And so Rosie Ruiz was this runner maybe in 75, 76. She came out of nowhere to rent it. And I remember if you watch the footage, you can find it on YouTube. The announcer like, they blame themselves. Because I think people are conditioned to believe that no one's cheating and believe people. So you hear the announcers, the ABC going, Well, this runner, number 758, is in the lead. She's a half a mile ahead of, you know, whatever, Greta Weitz or whoever was second, when it wasn't Greta Weitz. and they said, we must have missed her. Our cameras must have. And it would be easier possibly for a woman to cheat because there's lots of people around.
The man is way ahead.
The men competitors are a little bit ahead of the women competitors. So there's a more of a wash of people that you might be able to jump in and jump out. Like if you're going to cheat in the New York Marathon and, you know, your guy looks like me wearing like plaid shorts and a tank top running out there.
You're going to stand out.
In my New Balance.
I was at the marathon this year, and those dudes at front, they're sprinting. It is the most insane thing. Have you seen one lately?
Yeah, it is funny because the competitive runners in this little group of probably, 75 guys?
I think maybe even less,
And they take off, and it's like a middle-aged man in a dead sprint.
I'd say a young man. I don't even know. They're moving so fast. I'm like, they're not doing that for 26 straight miles, are they?
I would like to race one of those guys. I get to go a half mile.
Yeah.
At their 26 mile pace.
Oh, they would blow you.
They would smoke me, huh?
They would smoke you. Do you know what's funny? That marathon used to get on the cover of Sports Illustrated and be on TV. Like Alberto Serrazar had like 3 SI covers. Mm-hmm. What happened there? Like talking about a sport.
Wide World of Sports.
Wide World of Sports did it. But how come that we can't do that now? Nobody's going to watch a marathon. It's a little slow.
Man, that'd be good. Have you ever tried? You're a runner. What's the most you've ever run in a clip?
By 12 miles, but I've never run a marathon. It's good. I've always had injuries, and I figured if I went 26, I'd be in physical therapy all day.
Right. It may stay with you for like a year.
My wife was going to do a half 2 years ago, and right before she pulled out her back, and that happens to everybody. I find marathons are so annoying, but have you ever thought about it? Or
there's no one on earth farther away from running a marathon than me.
You never jog. Oh, your knees are shot. You can't.
I like sprinting. Like, I like running fast when I was younger, and I was never.
Dude, I'm looking at your knees right now. There is damage in there. You can see cartilage floating around.
Scar.
Yeah. That's a funny thing. Yeah, I know you've had a lot of knee injury. You could never run a marathon on a rebuilt knee.
No, and I would blame my overall cardio shape, too. I'm not going to just put it on the left knee. It's not his fault.
Well, let's not blame your heart. Let's call it the lack of desire, too. The mental, I don't think you're mentally there.
I literally and figuratively don't have the heart for it.
Yes, you good use.
Yeah, very good. All right, that's the Leisure Podcast. Hey, this is the 4th of July podcast. A lot of people going on vacation. Where are you going on break? And any recommendations for people traveling on the 4th of July? And to where you're going, because you're going to a part of the country.
Okay. It's exciting news. Northern California.
Okay.
Palo Alto, California, where Stanford is. Likely entering the chili contest where I placed third in 2017.
Respect. If you were visiting San Francisco, let's say people listening have never been to San Francisco. It's a very cosmopolitan city, very hilly, beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very expensive, as the whole Bay Area is.
Well, there's two cities.
Would you recommend staying and visiting Palo Alto in lieu of San Francisco or as part of your visit?
So, there's two cities. There's Silicon Valley and there's San Francisco. So, San Francisco itself is a cold, dirty,
breezy,
dark city with tons of hipsters running around. It is like, it's old school and it's a really interesting place. Palo Alto is where all the action is right now, and Santa Cruz and where all the tech companies are. If you want to see rich people, it is Silicon Valley. It is insane.
Great food, right? Great seafood, great sushi.
Oh, all the food is great out there. But if you ever get a chance to visit Facebook, Apple, Google.
Do you think they'll let people visit?
So I think you have to know somebody. I've tried to get on Google. This is what I would want to do. Google is supposed to have these self-driving cars that go all around the campus. I've never been known anyone to get me a tour. I think that'd be a cool tourist thing to do. Do you think that'd be interesting?
Yeah, I think they'd let you. No, they don't.
I don't think Google. I've tried.
You might be able to with your connections with the show.
Yeah, but I would want to do that. If I was, what's the one thing I want to do in Bay Area? I'd like to see Apple's campus, see what it's really like.
I'll tell you, I agree with you because I've been to San Francisco and a lot of people go to Fisherman's Wharf. It's very touristy.
Oh, it's so touristy.
I would stay away from it. Maybe walk it real quick, but don't plan your day around it.
Yeah.
We visited Alcatraz.
That's rad.
That was pretty cool.
That's cool. I think you have to be 2 months out to get a reservation, but that is awesome.
I'm going to both Vermont and Rhode Island on the summer tour. Vermont, sneaky, very nice weather, not hot.
I thought Vermont got hot in the summer. I'm not going to lie. I've been in a hot, muggy weekend in Vermont before.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. There's a lot of good lakes. I'm a big lake guy. A lot of good breweries to visit in Vermont this summer.
Oh, my God. Is one of every three stores in Vermont a brewery now?
Or a weed shop. or if you want to buy vape pens, you know. And then Rhode Island, a really sneaky, great state. A lot of good seafood. It's a seafood haven. A lot of good beaches. A really, really fair priced state to visit. I know people don't say, hey, where do you want to go this summer? Let's go to Rhode Island. But I would highly recommend.
What's a town to stay in?
Newport is very nice, very family friendly, fun at night. Social.
That's the sort of biggest shore town, right? I mean, Providence is the biggest city, but
Newport has beaches, but it's more like this great paradise of food and drink and boats and New England culture. I would recommend Newport. It's a little touristy, especially on the weekends.
Yeah.
There's other towns like Narragansett down where I am and other places, but very beach friendly communities.
You ever see that movie where Jim Carrey was rode his motorcycle all over Vermont?
Yeah.
It was where he had two personalities. Yumi and Irene.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a beautiful, like, besides what everything would happen in the movie, it was pretty good. They show these beautiful shots of him going up and down the coast of Rhode Island.
Yeah, beautiful. Hey, thanks a lot for listening. We're the Leisure and Pabst and Perloff. Have a good 4th of July. Have a good vacation. Talk to you soon.